In the year 1948, English author George Orwell wrote of a future time. The year 1984, when most of the world's population had become victims of perpetual war, omnipresent government, continuous surveillance and propaganda. How different is our world of 2019 from Orwell's novel, I Wonder? A dystopian state common to literature of the early 20th century, such as A Brave New World, potentially? It's a big conversation, friends, and we're going to have it today on Viewpoint Presents.
Time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news, providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint Presents.
Welcome to Viewpoint Presents. This is Malcolm Aldow. Well, if there was one book I remember reading as a lad, as a young lad, it is that George Orwell, 1984. I want to welcome our panel here to the conversation here. Joining us today, Ilana Friedman is here, Susan Price, Jim McKay. All right, so we find government seems to be everywhere involved in our lives these days. It's every part of our life, both on a local level, a national level, a global level. Where are we at today? Have we gotten worse? I mean, is there more government in our lives now than there ever was? Or where's the trajectory of the nation? Ilana?
I don't think there's more government necessarily in our lives today than there has been. In fact, I think through the efforts of Donald Trump, there's somewhat less. But the problem that we have is that there is a groundswell of opposition to everything that's been going on for hundreds of years in terms of the trajectory that was based on our Constitution. And it is now being corrupted in a way which is, I think, very destructive and very, very disturbing.
So they're using it for their own agenda, basically, Ilana, is what you're saying, which goes pretty well with politicians as a whole. Susan, do you agree with that? I mean, do you have the same sense, or do you feel like government is more out of control today, or is it where it needs to be?
Well, Malcolm, I know for a fact that government is totally out of control. They've totally weaponized, there's my word again, but it's true. Mm-hmm. We've been warned by this in 1984, the dangers of what was to come. And government did swell, especially during the last, before this president, the three before that, the three decades before this. And now, you know, we're looking deep state in the face. And that's military as well as political. And that's where our politicians have used and abused their platforms as a private endowment plan.
That's interesting. You know, we hear the words deep state so much today. It's become, it really become part of our language now. It's a new narrative. And we kind of know what all that is. I mean, some people may be in denial, but it is part of our conversation today, at least, the deep state. Interesting. I kind of thought you might have a different idea, Susan, about what that was than what Ilana had opened up with. Very interesting. Jim, what Susan is saying, you know, look back over the last three, four administrations, you see where we're at today. Of course, Ilana brings up a good point about Trump being a factor to try to dial some of that back. Many people would agree with that, that he is trying to dial some of that back. Where do you draw the lines, Jim, from the opening comments here?
You know, I think that fundamentally America is about the American dream, the opportunity to earn happiness is, if you go way back to the constitutional days. After the end of World War II in the 60s, we ran out of things to do as a government. So we started intruding on everybody's lives instead. We had conquered the world with superpower, making everything for everybody. Yeah. Government has gone astray. It's the function of the federal government has tremendously outgrown the definitions of the Constitution, especially the 10th Amendment. which limits the powers of the Constitution, of the federal government, to what's specifically expressed in the Constitution.
Well, that's where I want to go next with you, Jim, is to talk about this again. We talk about government really becoming explosive, if you will, and then what the Constitution initially defined it to be. To some people, government, is it a means to an end or an ends to a mean? You know, another thing, Jim, is a lot of these politicians, you know, you think about job security. A lot of them, they want to make themselves feel important on a regular basis. To be able to do that, you have to create crisis, remember. If you don't have crisis, Jim, then you can't solve the problem. Now, you see, if politicians are going to be important, if they're going to feel important, if they're going to be what they, you know, that power factor, then they almost have to create the crisis. I'm wondering if they do this stuff intentionally,
yeah.
Jim.
Yeah, we used to call it in a technology word, arsonists and firemen. Somebody starts the problem up, and then somebody has to come along, and usually it's the same person, to put it out for their own self-importance.
Ilana, there are two ideologies here, really. There are those who believe government is the answer to all their woes and problems. That's part of it. And a lot of people are convinced that government has the answer. So it's kind of like, you know, again, I asked the question, is it a means to an end or an ends to a mean? You know, it is tricky here, but I think we're in this philosophical stage where we're trying to, almost like a teenager, Ilana, where we're trying to define who we're going to be. Because you've got to remember, America is a very young country. As compared to all these countries across the world, America is just a baby, really, truly a baby. So maybe we're at that teenager stage, Ilana. Maybe it's a dangerous stage as well as we go through this puberty that we're in. What we're going to be when we grow up. What do you think about that?
That's an interesting analogy. I think we are at a very dangerous stage, and I think we are trying to redefine ourselves. But we've got a very strong and growing movement to the far left that is embracing socialism, which is the antithesis of the American dream.
And so let me do formal introductions and welcome on here Ilana Friedman. She's a veteran intelligence analyst specializing in terrorism and politics. Ilana trained in Israel. She's an advisor to law enforcement and global corporations everywhere. She's authored 4 books. She's a weekly columnist at America Out Loud and a beloved commentator and columnist here. Susan Price is here. She's a National Gold Star mother. She's the daughter of a Marine and Army veteran. She's also the mother of a fallen American hero, Gunnery Sergeant Aaron Michael Kenefick. Susan is known as the Veterans Advocate and a national voice, columnist here at America Out Loud as well. Jim McKay is here. He's a political analyst. He's a commentator, radio producer right here at America Out Loud, friends. He has a 30-year background in global technology, telecommunications, and pharmaceuticals. It is awesome to have you all here. Friends, we're going to have a great conversation here. Stay right there as Viewpoints rolls on.
America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
First of all, I got to tell you all, I loved that book. I just loved that book. It was one as a young lad that really kept my attention. And it took a lot to keep my attention at that point as a young boy, if you can imagine that, people. But it was that kind of a book. I remember reading it several times and enjoyed it because it was so futuristic at the time. Like, wow, like that could happen? And like, oh, that's scary.
Oh,
yeah, it was a little scary, Ilana, for sure, man. So that's kind of it. So there's a lot of factors now. And, you know, you remember the term here, Big Brother is watching. That kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies here, Big Brother is watching, which was really the essence of that whole novel, was Big Brother. But now Big Brother, the problem, Susan, that I'm seeing, and I want to start with you on this, I think Big Brother, what we should explore this right up front here. Big Brother, I think, is probably sleeping with Big Tech and Big Business, and I think they're all sleeping together, Susan. At least this is what I'm worried about. What do you say about that?
Well, I agree, Malcolm. And we'll look at the artificial intelligence. The other day, my friends and I were sitting having a conversation, and we were talking about different toothpaste. And a minute later, my friend's phone went off, and there's a toothpaste ad. No, that's scary. This is true.
Oh, a true story. Wow.
So, you know, and remember, I did the article on the fusion centers where they had, you know, for all intents and purposes, want to protect us. Mm-hmm. They write these narratives, and they've weaponized everything against us. Because if they were supposed to help us, why is there still crime? Now, we're the criminals. And this is exactly what a president is breaking up. We saw it in the FBI, CIA. Mm-hmm. All these different alphabet groups, the two groups are guilty of. And so, and I want to mention this, too. Our 40th president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, had said the most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government.
And I'm here to help." I love that. I love it. Yeah.
Let us not forget that. We're living in the day where not even a whisper is safe.
Well, let's pick up on that. That is so appropriate here to say that. I'm from the, you can see think about this, people. Now, you're at your home, relaxing in your living room, you hear a knock on the door, and you open up the door, and the guy there or the gal says, "I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." What the hell do you do? run the other way, right? Run out the back door. But, you know, it's funny, you just talked about the toothpaste thing, which I chuckled about, Susan. The other day, I was talking about, you know, big government and the NSA and the IRS and all of these big scandals we're having. And I walk outside, and sure enough, I see, and first of all, I hear them. Then I see them, some jets fly over where I was at, like low-lying jets. And I thought, oh, hell, they're bombing me now. I'm in trouble. So you're just, I don't know, do you really? Who's listening here? It's funny.
Have black helicopters.
Yeah, you think a lot of.
I've seen my share of those. I have to tell you, and I worried more under the previous administration, because this administration is cleaning it up. There's cleanup in aisle five. So,
it's even beyond aisle five. It's all over the supermarkets at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mess.
Yeah, you got it.
Which is really this whole swamp conversation, really, that we talk about this swamp thing. But let's get back here a minute, and we talk about Big Brother again, and I want to bring it back to what I'm calling now. Before I dive into social media, which I want to do with you, when we talk about the Orwellian factor, what makes this kind of spicy right now is this, that you have this concept, Jim, of you have government growing like it's growing. And again, they have to feel important. I think I really believe this in my heart. I believe they create these crises on a regular basis. I'm not just being a wise guy here. I mean, maybe it sounds like I'm being a little smug, but I really believe this. I believe they create, because think about it, people. That's how you feel in demand and you feel important. And a lot of these cats, Jim, want to feel very important, clearly. But now when you take that factor now of government on steroids, as we're speaking about here, and then you add in back to where Orwell and what he predicted, Jim, with cameras. You know, the other day I was driving with my son and we noticed all the cameras on the streets, Jim, for real. We've seen some people go through some red lights. And of course, I'm not interested in going through the red lights for a lot of reasons. And one, I don't need the ticket. And two, you know, I don't need the camera shooting your car and doing that. But all these lights, cameras start going off. They're absolutely everywhere. But, you know, there's a plus and a minus to all this, of course. Now you add in, Jim, the technology, the social media impact of the fact that it's absolutely everywhere. And you add in what's going on with Google, and they're up there talking on the Hill constantly. And people are saying they're going to have to be, these are monopolies with Facebook, Google, and all these cats, and they're going to have to be pulled back down a little bit. What do you say to all this? I mean, what I'm asking is, are the pieces all in play, Jim McKay, that are going to create some, I think, some further havoc over the next 10 years? Or how do we dial it back?
Well, the pieces are all there. And a perfect example was the Boston Marathon bombing. Mm-hmm. They were able to pick up the two brothers, I guess they were, that were the criminals, before the bombing went off, during the bombing, right after it, follow them across town, get them within, 48 hours. They had video from every building, from every angle, close up, long range, you name it.
That's right.
That's an upside to it from a criminal surveillance capability. On the flip side is where you have this same level of potential intrusion into everything we do in our lives. Mm-hmm. It's unending. There is no privacy. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't. Anybody, I don't think it will ever exist again, Jim. But Jim, you just laid out a perfect scenario, Jim. Perfect scenario. Thank you. But how do we balance those worlds? Because you mentioned, you're so right with the Boston Marathon bombing, and the cameras are what got those two cats and really saved the day for that travesty, that crisis, what had happened there, that tragedy. But now we give up, it violates all of our privacy. And they say, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have to worry. I don't know about that, Jim. I don't think I subscribe to that theory. You know that?
Well, you have Zuckerberg goes in front of Congress, and this fellow's the head of Google this past a few weeks ago, went in front of Congress also, mm-hmm. and says, well, we have not done anything to disclose anybody's records or data that they're unaware of. Yeah, they have a micro print 21-page user agreement that nobody reads. Buried in that user agreement is everything that indemnifies Facebook for anything they want to do with any information you ever provide. So, yeah, he is not stealing stuff from them. Everybody's signed up to let them have it all.
But add to the point that during the Obama administration, the person that he appointed, Jane Hall-Loop, was the shadow for Janet Napolitano. He then appointed Jane Hall-Loop, who was married to a four-star general and a NATO, forever a NATO general, and a war czar to Bush and Obama. He puts Jane Hall-Loop into cybersecurity to head that off. She had worked with the UN before and after her spiel with Obama administration as cybersecurity. And now she has started her own companies with 125 different nations around the world. Where do you think our information's going? And she was working with Brennan behind the scenes because she's attached to Eric Schmidt of Google.
Well, here's
I've
the thing.
I've done the research on all this.
Susan, the environment is right for a lot of these cats to violate things. As you say, there are a lot of opportunities out there, and sometimes they're nefarious at best. But the environment is right for a lot of these people to use these tools for their own self-purposes, which is what we see a lot happening in government. It's why a lot of all of our leaders, in fact, are senators and Congress folks, they all leave there rich as you know what, because they don't enter that way, but they make it from all of the unscrupulous things that go on in Washington. Ilana, let's pick up on this world we've got here now that I've laid out. What I'm speaking about, to stay on task here, is I look at this as you've got, again, the Orwellian factor here and the future dystopian state that we know we don't want. And yet you've got all the pieces in play. You've got a powerful government that has grown and grown and grown with all of these branches and tentacles, if you will. You now have cameras everywhere, as Jim points out, with the marathon thing. You've got social media, which is so far up the yin-yang that, everybody is entrenched into this stuff. You've got an environment now that I think we've kind of surpassed 1984 now. I think we're in a whole nother generational idea here of what the world is or what it's going to be. What do you see ahead over these next 10 years?
Well, I think that one of the things that we have in our environment that they did not have in 1984 is that we have choices that we can make. And to some extent, to a great extent, we have chosen to sacrifice our privacy.
That's right.
By bringing Alexa into our homes, by installing Bixby on our Androids. We opt for smart TVs that watch us every day, whether they're on or not. And we post the most personal information on public websites and wonder why we have no privacy.
I know. It's crazy, Ilana. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And I think one of the problems that we have with our loss of privacy is that we have given up our right to, even our ability, to protect our privacy.
That's right.
And so you, even if you have a smart TV and you don't connect it to your internet, are you really safe? Who knows?
Right.
But try and buy a TV that isn't a smart TV anymore.
Yeah.
So we have chosen to make these or just to do these things that invade our privacy, invade our homes, invade our bedrooms, and so I think we have to take responsibility for that.
Yeah, that is well said.
As well as casting it.
Ilan, let me talk to you about this a moment. You bring up really very interesting with the whole Alexa thing, and there's a whole bunch of them. We say Alexa, but there's that's one of the more popular ones. There's a ton of them. There's the Google one, and I think Alexa is Amazon, isn't
Alexa,
it?
Alexa, Bixby, Athena, Siri.
Whatever
Google.
It is. There's a bunch of them, yeah.
A lot of them.
And so, but let me ask you, does anybody here on the panel, Susan, Jim, or Ilana, does anybody have one of those newfangled speakers like Alexa? Whatever the brand is, does anybody use that?
We have four.
I don't, but I have friends that do.
Well, one at a time. So, you, Jim, you have four. One at a time.
Jim, you have four. In the house, yeah.
Jim, do you worry about the violation of privacy at this point?
No, because when you do sign up for these things, you can limit and opt out of their ability to use it. That is a legal contract that you've entered into, and if you're smart about doing it, they know it because they get a copy of that. And if they violate it, they're a $1 billion company that you can sue.
Well, let me ask you this now, Jim. There are people in recent weeks and months here where the law enforcement officials, governmental entities, political purposes have used and gone to the courts to try to get that footage that is being stored in the data centers of these massive technology companies because they want to detect what happened, what was said in that room, because it's a legal matter of some sort. So these conversations, it has been deemed already, are absolutely being stored somewhere. Now, just because you tell it something when you buy it doesn't mean it's not storing it. Is that correct?
Yes and no. Some of them give you the opportunity and the control, like the Ring doorbell, which it has the camera and tracks, and you can save the images of people delivering or stealing packages off your front steps.
So you think by opting out that maybe that does it or something? You think that might
And
do
you can
it,
opt out of the
But then you trust
function.
Them enough to think they're going to opt you out then. You're a trusting tech guy, huh?
Well, you can actually go and delete it yourself.
I see.
Right?
Interesting. I don't know.
But 99% of the population don't get that involved with it. They are stupidly trusting. They just sign up for these things.
And how about, all right, and Jim, and how about 100% of the population just click the I agree to whatever the hell it is we're agreeing to? Has anybody on this panel, hold on now, has anybody on this panel ever, like 100% of anybody in my life, anybody listening, anybody in the, hold on, anybody on the planet, has anybody ever pulled one of those agreements up, like with a really fine like language, the little fine thing, you'd need a microscope to see it or a magnifying glass or something to be able to put it under there to see the damn thing. Has anybody ever taken one of those out and read the entire piece, like one of these long ones, and said, wow, I like everything in here, man, this is good stuff, sign me up? You know, right?
Not that I know of. Nobody.
You know, they, when you sign up for these, they put a little screen up that says
you're
Google
screwed.
Must access these different things on your computer.
Right.
And you don't have to agree to those, by the way. You can actually sign up.
But then
Google,
you don't get the benefits. You don't get the features. You don't get the stuff.
Who cares?
Well, that's the point is. But everybody wants the stuff and the bells and whistles, Jim.
Yeah. I mean, like, the big thing right now is your contacts.
Right.
That they're not only using your data, but they're using your list of other people.
Well, that's
here's what concerns me.
Yeah.
Jim, you said you delete your files if you don't want other people to see. But I have grown up in computer smart families. My kids are 10 times smarter than I am. And they tell me that even if you delete stuff, it doesn't go away.
Exactly.
Right.
On your own computer.
My concern is that even though we think we're getting rid of it, mm-hmm. it's still there for others who have better tools and more capability to be able to read should they want to.
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah. All right. Opt-in in and opt-in out we're talking about here. But let me take it one step further here now. You've been watching all of this malarkey going on with Facebook lately. Facebook is the company you probably love to hate or you hate to love, or I don't know which it is, but it's one of them or both of them. and so as we say here, most of the planet, and you're, one of the stats here you got here is one out of every three beings on the planet subscribe to Facebook. I'm not one of them. I am not on Facebook, people. Facebook doesn't want me on. They've thrown me off twice years back. And so I consider it a compliment.
You're one of the good guys.
Exactly. I consider it a compliment. And that's all. And I was just doing my thing. I mean, I'm a civil dude. I mean, come on, Ilana, mm-hmm. what's up with that program? I mean, come on. I mean, if you can't like Malcolm out loud, who the hell do you like? I mean, I'm kind hearted as they can be. So there's about one in three on the planet are using this Facebook. So Facebook has been under a lot of heat, and you see some of the recent problems where they're every week they have bad news. I mean, every week it's more and more bad news. Now they're asking to really excavate Zuckerberg out of there and send him on his way. Of course, he still has control, so he's not going easily or willingly. But that may happen at some point ahead here. But now what's happened is it's been proven that Zuckerberg has been sleeping with these other big companies like Netflix and Amazon and these other technology-type companies. And they are letting them come in and do what they want to do. They have their pickings to take whatever they want of your Facebook information. What the hell is wrong with that, Jim?
It's the way of the world. I mean, all these companies have been together for years. And if you look what they've done, not only with social media, but with the broad media, the television, the networks, the cable industry, they're all in bed together. And what drives these things is my question. Is it they stop bringing us the news, they bring us their agenda now. It's turned from news into pure propaganda.
Oh, totally, totally, totally propaganda. It's all agenda-driven.
And Malcolm, let's not forget who Mark Zuckerberg is. He's David Rockefeller's grandson.
You know, everybody forgets that, Susan. Wow.
Yeah,
you know all that stuff. Tell us about that.
That's
so he's the grandson?
Well, no. Yeah, he's the grandson of David Rockefeller. And so, you know, there's 1% of the population that runs the world for the rest of us, for the 99%.
Susan, why wasn't I born to a wealthy family of some sort?
Tell me about it.
It would have been a lot easier. I mean, come on. It's not fair, telling you. It's not fair, right?
You know what? It is. What Susan says about 1% of the population running the world mm-hmm. plays right into this Orwellian dystopia state where Orwell in the 1940s said that about 3% of the population, the elitists, will make all these decisions. And then he has the technocrats under them, which is about another 12 or 13%. Mm-hmm. They're the educated people, the college elite, you know, the Columbia, the Harvard, these guys.
That's right.
And then the rest of the population, 84-85%, they have no use for other than they're the workers. They live off them.
And that's a great point, Jim, to bring up. Let me now add to that. And here's what's happening. Now, here's what's happening. And Ilana, I want you to speak to this because you brought up some good points moments ago, too, about the whole Alexa thing and the speaker. In other words, you've actually said something even more profound about we are giving up our freedoms, our privacies, whether it's the smart TV or the smartphones or the this or that. I mean, we're the, you know, really, if you think about it, people, we're the dumb shits who are using the smart stuff. I mean, you know, how crazy is all that? Think about that a moment. I know I shouldn't have said that. It doesn't sound good, but you know what I'm saying, people. And so, you know, we have sacrificed all of this. And we've done it for convenience purposes. We've done it to be further advanced as a society. I want to warn everybody right now. We're on the tip of a conversation here that is highly unique. But I got to tell you what else is going to happen. When we talk about all of these big entities and controlling our lives, now add to the mix what's going to be added to this mix, which we do need to dive into on a future show here is going to be artificial intelligence, AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you now, I have an actual magazine out there on Flipboard I use. The robots are coming. The robots are coming. And they and I don't mean that in a very joyous way, people. They are definitely going to be part of our lives. And so you add that to the mix now. And now, well, society as we know it, Ilana Friedman, I got to tell you what, if you were to go to sleep right now, or I was to go to sleep and wake up 50 years from now, probably only 20 years from now, I'm not sure we'll recognize this world, Ilana.
Well, you know, that's been a subject for an awful lot of authors who have conjectured, starting with maybe someone like Rip Van Winkle, who woke up, who slept for 20 years, and going from there. But you know, I think one of the big things is that in the past, the elites were untouchable. They were unreachable. They mm-hmm. were they lived in a different world from the rest of the population. But there's been a leveling of the playing field through social media and some of the most extraordinary technology like cell phones and that has been a kind of a social leveler, and it has had all kinds of unpredictable results. But what I think we have done in all this is we have allowed by having all of the information about their corruption available to us, we have started normalizing corruption in such a way that it is becoming a way of life instead of what we should be avoiding.
Wow.
Exactly. It's a form of digital espionage, Malcolm, mm-hmm. and a form of social control. And let's not forget it was among the top in the world, the Chinese. And we know that they're the surveillance state. They are the nation of surveillance, and they've stolen a lot of our technology.
Wow.
And here we keep buying their products.
Yeah, yeah. What a profound statement. Yeah.
Along that theme, mm-hmm. that's your deep state today, because that's the club that doesn't want to let any of these people in that have access to cell phones, to computers, to media. If they have this exclusionary barrier put in place that every time somebody tries to penetrate it, they fight them off. I mean, look what's been going on for at least the last 2 years in federal government. Trump is the outsider, and he is continuously bombarded by not only the government officials, but by the media, 24/7, a consistent message. And that is to maintain their exclusionary control mm-hmm. over the message, the propaganda element of what's happened. You can tune to any network, to any cable outlet, switch channels, minute to minute. You're going to get the same exact word out of the mouths of these talking heads scripted to
them. Absolutely. All right. What a fascinating conversation, I have to tell you. Some of the comments and thoughts here are profound. It gives me goosebumps, really and truly, I have to tell you, people. I don't know about you out there, but I definitely have goosebumps on the whole country. And, you know, it's almost like when you're a kid, you want to stop the merry-go-round. Excuse me a minute, I want to get off. it's going a little too fast right now, but I think that's kind of where we are at, possibly, potentially. Is that where we find ourselves, I guess I ask you? And then when you add all to this, people, as we continue on with this conversation, I want to say this. So this guy comes along, and again, this conversation is President Trump, and you can see why he is a threat to the entire system. This guy doesn't do privacy. He gets out on social media, on Twitter, and he tells the world what he's thinking. This is not business as usual. It's highly unusual that any politician anywhere, in fact, he's got other world leaders now doing it. You'll see Macron doing it a lot, and others around the world are now getting on Twitter, and they're telling people what they think. They figure, what the hell, if Trump can do it, we can do it too. And so now you have this disruptor in there. Now, the deep state, they're not happy with the boy. They don't like him. They don't like what he's about. They don't like this open conversation going on. And granted, is he politically correct? Hell no. I mean, does he piss in your Wheaties? And sure he does. He's all over it, man. He's pissing in your Wheaties. You know it, people. Come on. But is that what the country needed at this point? I don't know. But here's a man who comes along. He says, you know what? I'm going to stir the pot up just for the hell of it. And if you like it, great. And if you don't, tough, you know what? More Viewpoint Friends in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on americaoutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. All right, friends, we are back. Viewpoint Presents. And what a great conversation here. I am so enjoying this. I hope you are as well. And mostly because we got three incredible people here on this panel. And, of course, you all that are listening are incredible, too, because you're listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you again for being part of Viewpoint Presents. This is a 10-part series we are doing on some of the biggest topics, conversations, opportunities, challenges of our generation, people. The purpose of this series is to wake us up. Today, it's the Orwellian factor here. We're speaking about the upside of George Orwell. And of course, whether you want any privacy back is, you'll have to move to another planet where when they don't have antennas, potentially, because this one is saturated with it at this point, I have to tell you here. So let's bring it forward here and talk a little bit more about what we're doing here. How about 1984 versus 2019? Where are we at? One of the things I want to talk to you all about that I've noticed in our lifetime, as you say here, they create crises every day. And as you say here, Jim, moments ago, well, that's what the media does. You just turn the channel, it's the same conversation because they're all talking about the same stuff. And the thing is, they get on it and they beat it to death until you're brainwashed for about, you know, 2 days, 48 hours, sometimes longer, depending what the stakes are. And they try to brainwash the population with their, again, Walter Cronkite is dead, people. He's gone. So there is no more 6 o'clock news. That's history. Now it's propaganda and agenda-driven conversation. You can see where this is all going, which is why folks like us are doing so well, because the others are sucking wind right now, and their ratings are dropping like a lead balloon. Rightfully so. I don't watch that garbage. I don't want to put that stuff into my brain any more than you should. I mean, come on. That's what's happening. But let's talk about war. Perpetual war. Seems to be, I think this is all part of this conversation as well. War. I mean, you've seen the president come out in recent weeks and months and want to make some big changes, like bringing troops home. And, you know, in Syria and Afghanistan, around the world, and people say, oh, this guy's a nationalist. He's not for conquering the globe. He's not for nation building. The hell's the matter with this guy? Some people are not happy with him. Others think he's pretty interesting. Ilana, is he doing the right thing, in your opinion, in the scope of it, as we look ahead over the next year or two? Is this the right trajectory we're on?
It's an interesting question, and it's a very complex issue. If we're talking about bringing back 7,000 troops?
A lot.
How many troops? A lot. I have trouble with zeros. But he's bringing back all these troops from Afghanistan. He's pulling out of Syria. Mm-hmm. It can be argued that he is, by pulling out of Syria, he's putting Israel in jeopardy. Israel is one of our allies. And also he is giving Iran a stronger foothold in Syria. There are all kinds of questions that it raises. However, I think in principle he is trying to do the right thing by pulling us back from global confrontation.
Some of these hot spots, and, right?
I think in principle he is mm-hmm. doing the right thing. Whether the specifics are correct, I have some questions about it.
Understood. Well, Israel came out and said they can, which we know they always say that, or typically they do, that they can defend themselves. They're not worried about X, Y, or Z. Of course, there are others in the military and top senior people say, listen, we're just hours away from having X amounts of thousands back where we need it. Don't worry. Then there are others that, well, we should just stay there because wherever we go, we're supposed to stay. We're like a dandelion. We just keep growing and growing, Susan. Susan, what do you think? Are you in favor that we stay around the world this way, or do you think we should make a concerted effort to bring our soldiers back home? What do you think?
Well, let's not forget the number one reason why the elite and military-industrial complex have taken us into wars. It's not about protecting our country because we're in another country. It's about encumbering their assets. We were in Afghanistan for the drugs and for the smuggling and the drugs and the arms. My son was killed there. He was intelligent. I know a little bit about this stuff. And I just want to say, as a member of the Truth Seeker and Dragon Slayers Club, I believe that President Trump knows what he's doing. He has the best generals. We are the most powerful military in the world. We'll always protect Israel. These guys have plan after plan after plan that we don't know about. I'm not the billionaire, and I'm not an armchair quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother of an American hero, a highly decorated intelligence Marine. Yeah. And I only know what I know because I go looking for answers that you're not going to find out there or here in the media. That's my opinion.
Well said, yeah. And there are many nights, Jim, where I get a call from Miss Susan Price, the illustrious Gold Star mother and brilliant researcher that she is, with telling me, did you hear such and such? Did you know that's going on? I mean, she definitely knows where some of those bones are being buried here.
Jim, I have inside sources, too.
Jim, what do you think about this perpetual war and what we're talking about right now? And is the right decision, I know this is a tough question, too, but you hear some of the conversation, is it the right decision to consolidate some of this or not?
Well, you know, the big decision on it is there was a big turning point in 1950s in Korea when war became politicized instead of fought by generals. There was no more urgent need to conquer or to win. It became a political United Nations police action. It became a War Powers Act moved by the president in the Congress. They didn't want to get involved, so they stood back. But they said, but you can't build nations or nation states. You can't get involved. You can't dispose of the head of Syria. That would be wrong. But you can go in and you can be there and fight ISIS on the Eastern Front in Syria. The entire politicalization of warfare goes back to the idea of, why do we have perpetual war? Why have we been fighting wars for 100 years with no end in sight?
Well, what's the answer to that, Jim?
Well, I think it's two things. One, you have proxy wars, mm-hmm. which go on. Everybody says Vietnam was a proxy war between the Russian superpower, the United Soviet Union at that time, mm-hmm. and the United States.
Right.
So we wouldn't get to a nuclear confrontation. We would be trying out our latest new arms, fighting each other on a smaller front to satisfy some political need for the powers to be. Again, it goes back to the, as Susan mentioned, the military-industrial establishment ruled the country through the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Mm-hmm. We have lost industrialization in the United States in the last 30 years, except for arms and munitions manufacturing. I mean, we build warships. We don't build cruise ships. We build airplanes, bombers, fighters, jets. We've given half of the commercial aviation over to the Europeans, to Airbus. We don't build cars. We build tanks. We build Humvees, things like that. If there wasn't a military-industrial establishment getting billions of dollars a year, we would have virtually no major industry in the United States.
So we're talking about the benefits of war, basically. There have always been, war's always been, it's inevitable, really. But you're saying as a piece of commerce, you're talking about...
As a piece of commerce, also, mm-hmm. these industrial giants mm-hmm. feed huge campaign funds to the government, people running in government, on both sides of the... aisle.
It really is a fight of good versus evil. You know, when you think back through our history, Ilana, and you think about good versus evil a moment, okay? Think about it in these terms here. Think about through our history and through society, many of the young men and women who have lost their lives, some have sacrificed their lives, others have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time. And for what, when you really ask, what is it for? And we hold up our military in the highest regard here, always, as we do our law enforcement, always. But you have to stop to look at this bigger fight of good versus evil. And I wonder, Ilana, is, I don't know, it just comes to my mind how warped it all is. And in the big scope of it now, are we just pawns in a bigger chess game of idiots? Are we just pawns and we're just being moved around the chessboard in this big game of life chess, if you will call it? There's something sinister about the whole thing that should leave everybody a bit ruffled. What do you think about that?
I would agree with that, and I have had this feeling for some time. I was doing some analysis of our fighting in Afghanistan. Our soldiers, God bless them, they were fighting with one arm pinned behind their backs.
That's
they
right.
weren't didn't have the ammunition they needed. The rules of engagement were totally to their disadvantage, and it was a travesty. They should have been fighting a guerrilla battle instead of having columns of tanks riding up and down these mountainous roads. There were all kinds of things that were going on that should never have happened, and put our own sons and daughters at risk, at mortal risk. Mm-hmm. And this was done for political reasons, not because it was the right thing to do. There was no right and wrong here. Mm-hmm. It was political. It was political in Iraq. When we fought the Second World War, it was good versus evil. Mm-hmm. But I think we have lost that concept, and we go to war for reasons which have nothing to do with good and evil, but have to do with what is politically savvy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I wanted to take a little spin off of that. After World War II, when we brought the German Nazi scientists over, Operation Paperclip, and thousands of them changed their names from Nazis to Jews and others, this was the socialist regime that these people infiltrated themselves into our military as well as media, political. I mean, look at Mika Brzezinski, who her father was. And there's others. I mean, we have many others. And these people branched off, and they have infiltrated beyond, I'm told it's way beyond what the most American even believes it is, okay, into the CDC with the vaccination, immunizations. We have warfare and propaganda on every single facet of our lifestyle. And me being the mother of a fallen hero, I live this every day. My son's death is what propelled me into this new life as the investigator that I've always been.
Right.
Into these matters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have, Susan. I mean, because you suffered a real life setback and real life experiences that changed your life forever. And you're using that now to the betterment of society and the nation, clearly. I do think there's something sinister about the whole war thing. I mean, listen, I'm a patriot. I get it, people. But I think we're all, there's something about this. I get the feeling, or I'm suspicious, that we are really puppets on a string here. Again, pawns in this chess game, this life chess game, if you will. And we're being pushed around the board here somewhat by, again, this 1% that Jim McKay and Susan, you guys were all over moments ago, this 1% class, the 1% class who is running the program. and which obviously Trump is not part of, clearly. He is upsetting the 1%, clearly. And it's not working well. They don't like him for a lot of reasons. And it's clear, people, when you're a threat to your own existence of whatever you've got and your hand is in the cookie jar, you want to keep it there, clearly. It's a human condition. But this is a fight. I'm telling you now, people, it's a fight of good versus evil. And I really want to look at it this way. And I want everybody to really consider what I tell you here, because everything we do next, when it comes to technology and social media and our lives and those cameras on the streets and the smartphones and the televisions and the Alexa, would you get me this? Could you go? It's all given up what our future is. I'm a bit skittish on the speaker thing. I don't know that I'd have four of them. I don't even have one of them. I don't really want my conversations being copied. The kind of conversations I'm having here, by golly, the NSA, the IRSA, and the blah, 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 say, and all those government agencies, the CIA and the rest of them would be at my doorstep. The alphabet soup would certainly be locking us up here, Jim, you know? So I just can't take the chance that those speakers are not copying what it is. They already have a room out there in the desert called the Out Loud Room, where they got me on my picture all over the wall, Jim. And they do. Like those posters you used to put up as a child when you like those little, they have me just as one of those, you didn't know I was that popular. I was one of those teen idols, they call it. I'm that way to the NSA. I'm tied up on all their walls out there. Mr. Out Loud, the whole room there is that way. All right, listen, let's do this. Jim, let's talk about, in our last few moments here, so in this Orwellian factor here, so the relationship between government, politics, the free press, social media, the huge media conglomerates, all of them. I mean, they're, as I say to you, people, there was a term I used to use many years ago. They are all sleeping together, people. I'm telling you, they're all in bed with each other. Now, is this coincidence, Jim McKay, or is this a conspiracy, or what is it? Is it fact, fiction? What do you buy here? What's going on?
I think it's a conspiracy at the highest levels. And when I mean highest levels, I'm talking corporate, government leadership, politics at state, federal levels, international levels. The United Nations does nothing.
Yes.
It's an empty, hollow room. They turn the damn thing into condos, we'd be a lot better off. But there is an organizations around the world that are basically funded from the economic side, giant corporations that are internationals, and they, OPEC is one of them. There's also people that are trading grains and other foodstuffs on a global basis. ADM is a huge, huge company. These companies have vested interests, and who do they get their vested interests met by? Politicians. Politicians need money. I mean, what it costs the hundreds of $1 billion Hillary spent and lost the election.
Right.
And they're worried about $800 the Russians spent on a few Facebook ads. These people just are way beyond the reaches of government, of even a Trump. I mean, he is fighting a battle that he's just overwhelmed with. They're out to get them. There's
all right.
No,
they are. They are. Susan Price, listen, I think if Trump had his way, I will speculate a moment with you. I think he would pull out of the United Nations. I think he would spiral them. I think he would flush them. I think he would save the money. I think he would be done. But he knows he can't do that. Is that right or wrong?
Well, in my opinion, I think that something's coming their way. He has a backdoor plan. Be sure of it. This president was brought in by our great generals that knew there was a coup against the people of the United States by the last president, okay?
Yeah.
He already knew, and he had stuff in place before he started his first day when he won the election.
Yeah.
He's got something definitely, because but Jim, everything Jim said. Plus, I want to say that by 2030, the UN really wants us to become a one-world power.
Oh,
and they're behind all this nefarious activity all over the world. Now you got France rising up, Belgium, the UK.
The yellow vest.
We want Trump. We're lucky we have this president.
That's it.
And I don't care who doesn't like him, okay?
Yeah.
This man doesn't have to be the president. He built his life for his family, for himself, and he loves America. He's a great patriot.
Interesting.
So,
well
in
said,
my
Susan.
Opinion, yes.
Well said. Well said, Ms. Price. I mean, great comments there from both. Ilana, so we now are where we're at. You're right. We've got the yellow vest out there. We got what's going on in Europe. It's not just here in this nation. It's throughout the world. I mean, people are rising up. There is a there's a movement happening around the globe. People are seeing what they're seeing, and they're reacting accordingly. And they don't like this socialist, one-world government, big, fat political environment that seems to have been brewed up over the last, 50 years it's been coming, Ilana. What do you see ahead? What's the future look like right now? What do you think, Ilana?
Well, I'm afraid that America is, for the most part, asleep and complacent, and we are in denial about the real and present threats that are facing us. But and among those threats are the raucous and violent left that is filled with hate and trying to bring down our country. We have congressmen in California who escort illegal immigrants across the border in flagrant violation of the law. We give in to civilization jihad of radical Islamic groups trying to superimpose Sharia on the American judicial system. And we accept as normal the violent demonstrations in places like Portland, where the police stand down in the face of vicious attacks on passersby who just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I think we're facing some very, very serious issues. I stand firmly behind the president. I think he is trying to address them, but he has a very, very full plate, a laden table with things that he has to attend to, and it just doesn't have the support that he needs in order to get things done. And we see what Congress, is not doing over the past 2 years when he could have gotten a lot more done than he did. It didn't get done. And so these are dangers that are facing us. And in the larger world, the move for the global community, which has been center stage for past administrations, is no longer the president's primary issue. In fact, he stands for a strong nationalism, which I support. We have the greatest country in the world, and we need to keep it going as it has been.
All right, we're dealing with decades and decades of abuse here. Remember, this isn't something that happened yesterday. There is no one man, there is no one woman, there is no one person who can clean it up overnight. It's not possible, people. We're dealing with decades and decades of abuse here. Now, we speak about the Orwellian factor here. It's an interesting book you read when you're a kid. Maybe you do a report on it. But it was very futuristic when you looked at the world and you realize people that were big thinkers could see what would potentially happen. A lot of it is because of greed. It's good versus evil, but it's because of greed. And there are people who are willing to sell their soul out. They probably don't mind an existence in eternity in hell because this is what they are. It's what they do, and they don't believe anything different. The fight is big. It's real. It's bigger than anything we could possibly potentially talk about, friends. It's a fight for our lives, I'm telling you. And it's here today. It's sadly going to be here tomorrow. Again, it's back to that, stop the world for a moment, please. I want to get off just a sec, please. The merry-go-round, we call it, right? It is a merry-go-round, people, I'll tell you what. Listen, you can contact us anytime with your thoughts, ideas. We'd love to hear from you. talk@americaoutloud.com. Visit us at the platform there. We've got some of the most brilliant writers and conversations and commentators and things going on. A lot of big things happening in the new year. We're excited. We're happy you're here in this special presentation, Viewpoint Presents. Big thank you here to Ilana Friedman, Susan Price, Jim McKay. Friends, thank you again for being part of the journey always. And remember, the Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.